Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles from Robles Designs, Tanisha English Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson from Circle 27 Media Podcast Consultants. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. We focus on marketing, social media, monetization, and website design to help you implement all of these together. This week, Yasmin is here from the Circle of Experts. Yasmin works alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy, looks amazing, and that you can actually use to grow your podcast and then in turn your business as well. Yasmin, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for keep inviting me back so I can back.
There's a lot to talk about websites. I think this is, you know, bringing you in with the Circle of Experts, you know, it's that podcasters and businesses need to really consider owning the land that they live on, you know, and that's the website. It really is. This is the one of the few things that you can actually own and make a difference. But there are a lot of things too. Just like owning a house, you need to upkeep it. And there are trends for homes. And should you, you know, with the new looks and new windows and all that, you know, inside and outside, that sort of thing. And it leads me to the trends that are for website design, you know, designing timeless websites. It's ever changing. You know, those that you kind of go around, you look going, oh, I love how that works and how it plays on each other and such. So, you know, the world of web design is always evolving. We see that as I mentioned, we go to other websites. Before we dive in, can you share a bit about the challenges small businesses face when trying to keep up with those design trends?
Yeah, so the challenge really lies in finding the right balance. And on one hand, you want to keep it fresh, you want a modern look. But on the other hand, the business owner might need a design that stands out and stands the test of time. So really striking that balance is where the magic happens.
Looking at trends, I guess I'm looking at it from the standpoint of, is there something about considering this with the amount of traffic you get? Let's put it, so, you know, the user experience is huge for trends and the design and such like that. But if you don't have a huge amount of traffic and it's just a website to represent who you are, does that play into the trends a bit more than it's a high traffic website?
So I will say that when there is a larger site, you get a lot more traffic. When we do those audits or when we're redesigning a site, it's easier for us to say this trend will work for you or it won't work for you. Yeah. We can test it out. We can run A/B tests, which we've mentioned in other episodes, which just means we split the audience and see which design works best. When it is a smaller client who has maybe less than 500 people, it's really more about what the client feels like they need in terms of the trend. And we might try to navigate it a little bit differently just because we don't have that information, those numbers. Now, we do run across some clients who they regularly do a refresh and they try to put all the trends in. But to be quite honest, and we're not therapists or anything, but to be quite honest, sometimes it seems like there's something going on with their marketing or their business where they're not getting clients and they feel like just putting a trend on their website is going to make all the difference when it could actually be, why don't we work on your SEO? It doesn't have anything to do with the colors. You do not have to have a rainbow or anything on your site. Mm-hmm. Let's work on SEO and the copy. It could be that we just need more backlinks, which are links back to your site. It could be that they just need to go out networking. They're shy. They don't want to do that. They think the website will do it all for them. So we do run across those. And when we get a client who's looking to be more trendy, to have a site refresh, we really go through all of that and try to hone in on what's the real reason why you want to add a new trend or a new thing to your site.
All right. That makes sense. Because there's this energy around a new website. There always is. But what's the end run? Why? Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to spend all this money to do it when it really may not be the best spend of money? That makes sense. Yeah. So of course there are pitfalls of chasing trends. We kind of alluded to that right now. Certainly finding that magic spot's crucial. Can you shed some light on the pitfalls of blindly chasing design trends without considering that long-term effect?
Yeah. So It's kind of like chasing a moving target. What's trendy today will be outdated tomorrow. Businesses really risk losing their brand identity if they don't consider the long-term effects of design choices. And it's really essential to keep that in mind and make these changes strategically versus just on a whim.
Yeah, that's super insight. So how can businesses, podcasters, incorporate design elements that are both trendy and timeless?
It's really about identifying the core values of the brand and weaving them into the design. Elements like color schemes, typography, user experience can be modernized while still maintaining a timeless essence. It is a delicate dance, but if you do it right, it goes well. And you can look at some like Coca-Cola, Nike, look at the evolution of their brand, and you can see how they strategically updated their brand and still kept to the core of their values. You can see how some companies, I think years ago, I don't remember if it was The Gap, made a design change to their logo and people just were not happy with it. I think it was them. I don't want to put them down if it wasn't. Yeah. But it's happened before where companies make a change to a logo or a color scheme and everybody, all of their audience is just like, no, this is not happening.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a great analogy. There was some other business here just recently changed their look. I think it's LL Bean. I might be wrong too, but they changed it from a cursive look to just a font because they're realizing the younger generation can't read cursive.
Oh, yeah, like, that's right.
Wow.
Yes.
And I think it's LL Bean. And, you know, in a couple of ways, that's just a shocker. It's like, oh my gosh, we have a generation that can't read cursive. And you think about it, it's like, wow, what a negative impact it can on your logo that you have this brand for decades and you have to change it just because there's a generation that comes up that can't read it. That's mind boggling if you think about it. But, you know, that all that put together, it's a delicate dance for sure. I mean, can you share any case studies or success stories where a business successfully navigated that ever-changing design landscape?
Yeah, so I'll share a case where a business really embraced a modern minimalist design while keeping their traditional elements intact. It really resulted in this particular business, it resulted in increased engagement and a refreshed brand image. So we basically went in there and just somewhat redid the logo. It was a refresh of the logo. So we didn't completely get rid of everything, but we just refreshed it. It was a logo that had been DIY'd years ago. And I think at that point, they only had one file size and it was rather small. So anywhere that the logo was needed larger than a postage stamp, you could say, it became fuzzy. So it wasn't even the right format. They didn't have the working files. So like an Illustrator file where if we needed to, we could export it out larger, smaller, make tweaks to it, make it less fuzzy. But what we ended up doing was really analyzing what the business goals were. Why were they trying to do this refresh? It was old. We could just duplicate that, create a new file and have the same exact logo? Or was there something that was needed? So with this particular client, we ended up refreshing the font. So it was still we call it a sans serif font. So it's basically the anti Times New Roman. Times New Roman has little divots, decorative elements to the letters. So we just ended up choosing something a little bit more bolder. So it was slight tweaks. We simplified the colors. They had all the colors of the rainbow. And usually I say, try to have no more than two colors on a logo, three maximum. But it really turned out well. And it was received well within their audience and just their leadership committee. Everybody really liked it. And it's just something that we try to do is just to refresh it. We don't want to take away from the brand identity and completely come up with something new, but we want to make sure that those core values are shown and that it is refreshed.
Yeah. I never really thought about the change. Just you could change with the font, the typography. That in itself could be enough. It doesn't have to be the whole color scheme and all that sort of thing. It just those little tweaks that way that maybe no one really notices, but it's you can tell by the analytics in the end that people are staying on a page a little bit longer, or like you said, creating a whole new logo that's like, oh my gosh, a whole new world. Now we can use this logo for everything because it's modified with a little bit of tweaking here with the typography. That's fantastic.
Let me just mention about the typography. Yeah. A few years ago, the handwritten fonts were all the rage, and we would try to steer people away from having that in their logo because, or even maybe just as a headline, but away from the logo because logos can get very small and they can get very large. When it's larger, it's easier to read. When it's smaller, it'll get, depending on the handwritten font or the script font, it'll get harder to read. But some clients really wanted that in there, and they've recently come back and they say, we can't make it any smaller than a specific area because we can't read it. So then we refresh it. That's a bigger change going from script to something like sans serif and time or serif fonts. Mm-hmm. And if I'm speaking in jargon, you can let me know and I can explain what those are.
I think people know that stuff. They just don't know what the family looks like, but they get the name.
Yeah, so that's a little bit different, kind of like what you mentioned. I think it is all being where they had to switch it up. But if it is just refreshing it, so if you originally created yours with whatever your computer had, like Times New Roman, we can probably pick a different, similar, still a serif font, but a little bit more refreshed, a little bit livelier. If you had colors that were all the rage when MySpace was in, like that bright pink, we can probably refresh it and make it a little bit more accessible, more friendly to nowadays, maybe deepen it or lighten it, whatever we need. So it doesn't have to be drastic. It can be something refreshed, but still aligned with the values and the brand of the site. And then you aren't necessarily chasing a trend, but you are modernizing.
Now, for our small business owners tuning in, what practical tips can you offer for navigating design trends while ensuring that timeless website look?
Yeah, so firstly, really invest time in the boring stuff, which is understanding your brand identity. It's not pretty, it's not all the colors, but really understand what your audience expects from you, what their psychographics are, the demographics, really understand them and then understand what you stand for. And then you can selectively incorporate these design trends and align with your brand essence. Really, you want the design trends that you are looking at to be the visual voice of your brand. So just like if your brand is casual and fun and maybe it's for a local bar, you want the design trends to align with that. And similar, vice versa, if you are a lawyer and you're like, we are timeless, we are here, we're structured, and then you see a trend that has a bunch of bubbles or I don't know, something on it, that will not align. So obviously that's a drastic example, but you really want to understand that brand identity, understand your target, your goals, and then see what the visuals are that really align with that brand essence. And then regularly just update and refresh it to keep brand's core intact.
Makes sense. So we have design listeners out there listening. I'm sure. What tools and techniques do you recommend for implementing conversion-focused designs effectively?
Yeah. So for conversion-focused design, I really suggest, first of all, knowing why you're trying to, what you're trying to change. So know that goal and then do a test run. So we, in previous episodes, we've talked about A/B testing. That's basically taking one change and another change and then throwing it out into the world and seeing what one set of audience thinks of it and another set. You could also survey your clients and see what they, or your customers, and see what they think of your current branding. And understand that some of those clients or customers, are they really your target market? Or are they just, did they happen to buy once or twice, but or are they hardcore fans? That'll also give you a little bit of information. After that, after you've done all of the boring stuff, that's when then you, I would suggest if you are the business owner or if you are a designer, but if you are a business owner and you say, you know what, I don't know a lot about design, but I'm working with a designer, go on something like Pinterest or just gather a lot of inspiration visuals, take screenshots of what's on other sites and create this folder of inspiration, whether that's tattoos, landscapes, paintings, anything, and really understand what draws your eye to each of them. Is that landscape painting, is it because of the colors? Is that tattoo because of the line art? Know what drew your eye to that. And then once you work with a designer or if you're doing it yourself, you can start looking at trends and how they align with these, with your goals, with your understanding of your current customers or future customers. And then smash it all together onto a website and design.
Yeah. So, yeah, wow. I mean, and it's a lot, but at the same time, if you just do it over time, piece by piece, it's not that much to gulp, you know, but if it's that, it's an ever evolving thing to stay on top of. So looking forward, what trends do you see emerging in conversion focused design, and how can businesses stay ahead of that curve? That just sounds like a lot to stay ahead of.
Yeah, so from what I'm seeing, and I can tell you a couple of the trends that I'm seeing for websites and for logos, but really, if you want to stay timeless, if you don't want to continue to iterate, think about really the font that you're using. Make sure that it's readable, so it's not really thin. When it gets really small, it's hard to read. It's not like a script font, because that script font might be out of style soon. Think about, if you really focus on conversions, especially for a website, think about accessibility and can this font or this color work on the site, and does it reduce the easy to read, the accessibility of the site, or does it really enhance it? I would say for conversion, just run a bunch of tests and see what works and what gets people's attention more. Is the red button better than the yellow button? Does that gain more momentum? A few future trends that I'm seeing that are coming up, they include being really focused on the typography of a site. So where the hero section of a site used to be, which is the part that you see when the site first loads, it used to be a widescreen, beautiful image, maybe some a headline and some text overlaid on it, but it was edge to edge, a beautiful image. Now it seems that again, it really depends on your audience and your business, but it seems to be that a lot of these sites are they're really utilizing the white space a lot more, and that hero section is like a very, for envision like a chunky headline, chunky font, and really focused on the font, not on an image. The images might come in later, but it's really focused on, this is my headline, this is what I do, who I do it for, and my passion. Click here to learn more. Again, it depends on your type of business. If you're an e-commerce site, you probably want to put your product up there instead of just text. But if you are a law firm, for example, first of all, get rid of any skyline of whatever city you're in. I know in Columbus, Ohio, every single lawyer has a Columbus skyline. And I say, yes, obviously you're in Columbus, but that's not going to make me trust you even more. Show me your team, show me something else. That's a rant, but really look at what the image is that you're using, how you're utilizing, how is that white space? So white space or open area is basically anything that doesn't have an image or text on it. Does it flow appropriately? It's a lot of the text that I'm seeing on websites is becoming larger, which is great for accessibility. It's becoming larger, chunkier. Images might still be in there, but it's really focused on that white space around it and that flow. The other thing, if you're looking into conversions, one of the most basic ones is you can look at the Z pattern. So we read from left to right, and looking at, okay, if I, from the logo up at the top, if I go in a Z pattern throughout the page, what are people seeing and what are they reading? And how can I really, where can I put these buttons and make them prominent in order to gain that conversion?
All right. And people think, I mean, I never really believed that for a while, but then in regards to, we have patterns that we follow, but I've seen this over and over as another example, that there are patterns that we follow on a menu. Our eyes go, and it just does, whether the menu layout is at a restaurant, menu at a restaurant, whether the menu is laid out specifically to force you to go different directions, but our eyes do it for some reason, we do. So it's interesting, you know, that, yeah, think of that as on the website too, that it's going to go in a different direction. Where do you want them to go? And you know they're going to do this. So where do you want them to go? Yeah. Or what do you want them to get out of that website? So, yeah. Any final thoughts or key takeaways you'd like to leave with the listeners?
Yeah, so if you are a small business owner and you're looking at your site or your printouts, and you're thinking there's just something off about this, it just doesn't seem to be working. Number one, ask yourself, is it really the marketing, the design, or is it that there's some, you know, is am I just doing the redesign because I want to do it? And if you're like me, when you get stressed out, I start rearranging furniture. I think some of my clients do that with their website. So number one, ask yourself that. Number two, just start looking around and really understand who your customers are. Obviously, if you're targeting an older clients, for example, people that are one of our current clients right now, where we're redesigning a site where it's for they're targeting seniors and seniors who are in transition. So obviously the site has to be really minimalist, the text has to be larger. But if she were to look at a Gen Z site, Gen Z focused site, it would be very different. So she's taking into account this is a trend that I like, but obviously my clients might not necessarily find it as appealing. So keep a balance of that. And honestly, Pinterest is great. You can save a lot of images of websites. You can keep it on your folder. And even if you have to wait to hire someone, maybe it's not in the budget yet, just keep that inspiration with you. And that way, when it is time, you can bring those back out and pinpoint what you love, what you didn't love, and make informed decisions based on that.
That makes sense. Yeah. So it sounds as though a listener who has a website that they're on that edge going, yeah, I really would like a change and I don't want to jump into it just because I want to rearrange the furniture as your example. Can you do an audit? I mean, how can they reach you to just have another pair of eyes going, yeah, we can take a look and see what's going on and go in the back end, take a look at the analytics and see what's going, that you've tracked for a long time. Let's see what's working, what's not. Maybe an overhaul is not there, maybe it is. How can they reach you to start that process?
Yeah, so we do offer website audits in a couple of different ways. We offer it for sites that are recently new, recently launched, and then that comes with more of a future look at the site and helping you with content and planning that content. And it's almost like a roadmap. Basically, we're creating a roadmap for you and your website. The other one is for existing people who have been around for a while. They have their site, maybe a designer created their site, maybe they DIY'd it, but we really take a deep dive into a lot of aspects. And by we, I mean my team. We look at SEO, the on-page SEO backlinks, keywords, traffic. She looks at social media and that interaction, what does it look like and what is it, what analytics can we gain from that? And there's a ton more that she does. And then she also will create a 90-day content plan based on everything that we learned. It's basically going week by week. This is what you should post. This is what you should, where you should post. Is it better on LinkedIn versus another platform? And that's one of the offerings that we've started to provide for people who they can probably. Sometimes some of them can probably do a decent job on their site, but it's really that strategic thinking that they're missing. Not missing, but that they're that piece that they're missing.
All right.
And if you are like, that sounds great, but no, not for me right now, you can always find us and download a freebie at roblesdesigns.com/checklist. And it's basically a simplified list of what things you need on your site. Or you can just reach out to me via either Instagram or our website, and I can run through your site and tell you what I think.
Good. Sounds good. Yeah. We're doing the same thing for podcasts too. Some auditing of podcasts that it's that, you podcasted for a while and things aren't growing the way they are. Maybe it's getting a little stale. We'll take a listen, see what's, what we see as holistically from the industry, the best practices. There's no right or wrong way to do it, but it, like you said, you have to consider the audience. Who's listening and what's not clicking if you're not seeing the growth that you'd like to see? And it could very well be tied into the website that you have. So we'd bring in Yasmin with the website design as well too. So there are a lot of factors with what when you're creating that podcast, doing the podcast, that there's more than one way to promote it, and a website can be that way too. And we'll bring in Yasmin to look at that as well too. So you can find all that information on my website, circle270media.com. Yasmin, thanks again. This has been great. I love this episode.
Yeah, thank you for having me.